KPBS Roundtable offers perspectives from those telling San Diego stories. Join us for weekly conversations with reporters and storytellers, adding depth and context to the headlines driving the news in the San Diego region. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, February 17th. A partial government shutdown began this past weekend. More on what that means for San Diego next, but first, the headlines. San Diego's shelter program for those experiencing homelessness during big storms is now in effect. Numerous shelters across the county are now activated. Father Joe's Villages and Living Water Church of the Nazarene offer multiple shelter options for adults and families. Beds will open up on a per-night basis, with check-in and out times varying by location. Generally, those beds must be vacated the following morning. The program provides this additional shelter during severe weather for San Diegans in need. It goes into effect when temperatures are 50 degrees or lower and there is at least a 40% chance of rain. Another impact of the inclement weather, a high surf advisory for San Diego beaches. The advisory is in effect right now and goes until 10 p.m. this Friday. Breaking waves ranging from 6 to 10 feet with sets as high as 12 feet are anticipated. There is expected to be some coastal flooding as well as some tidal overflow into parking lots and boardwalks. The surf is expected to peak on Wednesday. Authorities are asking inexperienced swimmers and surfers to stay out of the water due to these dangerous conditions and to heed the advice of lifeguards and beach patrol signs. The County Sheriff's Office is inviting members of the community to give feedback on future plans to modernize the Vista Detention Facility. The San Diego County Sheriff's Office says this is an opportunity to better understand the planning process that's currently in place. The office says you can provide input before decisions are made, also adding that the facility is in dire need of replacement. The forum will take place at 6 p.m. in the Morris B. Vance Community Room, which is inside Vista City Hall Complex on Civic Center Drive. Questions or accommodations can be emailed to community@sdsheriff.gov. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
San Diego County is known for being one of America's most expensive regions. Locals are feeling the squeeze and looking for solutions. KPBS's new series, Price of San Diego, delves into the rising cost of groceries, childcare, car insurance, and even our beloved California burrito. You won't want to miss this ongoing series live now at kpbs.org/priceofsandiego.
Hundreds of federal workers in San Diego are again working without pay. A partial government shutdown began Saturday after lawmakers failed to agree on a funding deal for the Department of Homeland Security. Reporter Andrew Dyer says this shutdown is over one issue, immigration enforcement.
After two fatal shootings by immigration agents last month, Democrats say they won't fund the Department of Homeland Security without more oversight of immigration agents. They want body cameras made mandatory and for agents to stop wearing masks. Republicans say the masks protect agents, some of whom they say have been subject to doxing and harassment. But DHS is also the Coast Guard, Secret Service, and the Transportation Safety Administration. Those workers are all deemed essential by the government and required to work while payroll is frozen. Robert Mack represents TSA union workers in San Diego. He told KPBS media partner 10 News he hopes this partial shutdown is over quickly.
We currently just got our paycheck, our last paycheck, so hopefully it'll be taken care of within the next week or so.
Funding from this summer's Big Beautiful Bill is keeping immigration operations going, but not department payrolls. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
It's been almost a year since ICE agents began arresting people at their immigration court hearings and volunteers began documenting their actions. Reporter Gustavo Solis says the advocates remain committed despite the increasing fear and tension from President Trump's deportation campaign.
Every shift begins with a prayer.
God, here we are today, grateful to be servants of love and compassion, grateful to be your witness.
That's Reverend Kathleen Owens, a retired minister.
May you open our hearts so that we may stay with, side by side, those who are checking in, we have hearings, who are afraid.
She's one of dozens of volunteers observing immigration courts in San Diego. The group meets regularly outside the downtown federal courthouse. They introduce themselves to immigrants going through the process, offer prayers and resources, and document any arrests. They do not obstruct or even touch law enforcement officers. Reverend Owen says there have been some encounters she'll never forget. Like the family with a newborn child Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE agents, arrested last year.
Saying prayers, offering a peaceful presence. When the door to the interview room opened and the father pushing the stroller rushed out.
She saw a masked ICE agent walk to the elevator and hold the door open, waiting for somebody to come out.
And this young woman, in handcuffs, crying, is led from that interview room across the hall and into the elevator.
It happened so quickly that Owens did not get a chance to speak with the family.
And the hardest part is, we don't know her name, we don't know what happened, and it lives with me that baby's crying as dad was pushing the baby down the hall, and the woman crying as she was led away.
Last spring, San Diego was among the first cities nationwide where ICE agents began arresting people at their immigration court hearings. Within days, volunteers were showing up to offer help and support. They captured some of the first courthouse arrests on video, showing masked federal agents lining up the courthouse hallway, detaining people as they left the courtrooms. Despite all the rhetoric from the Trump administration, the vast majority of people arrested at immigration court do not have a violent criminal record. They are, in fact, following the law, showing up to their court hearings, honoring their scheduled check-ins with ICE, attending green card interviews. Reverend Paige Blair Hubert is another volunteer.
The general public doesn't realize how sweeping this immigration enforcement has been, and the impact on people has been, particularly folks who would seem like ordinary folks who are doing things by the book.
Meanwhile, she says ICE has taken steps to block volunteers from seeing what is actually happening. Volunteers are no longer allowed to film at the courthouse hallway, which breaks a long-held norm in public buildings. Signs prohibit loitering. Immigration judges bar entry from their courtrooms. The crackdowns coincide with increasingly aggressive rhetoric coming from the White House that portrays volunteers and observers as outside agitators or even domestic terrorists. Blair Hubert says the volunteers feel that tension here in San Diego.
We know we are citizens. We know we are clergy and lay people who are here called by God to be love in this place. And we pray for everyone in this building.
And all of it is taking a toll on volunteers. One of them, Mary, asked KPBS not to share her last name.
It's really scary for us.
She says some volunteers have stopped coming. They're afraid of being harassed by security or arrested by ICE. If the situation were not so tense, Mary says she would laugh off the thought of her fellow volunteers being labeled domestic terrorists. Most of them are retired women who go to church every Sunday.
The people that are here are amazing that volunteer for this work. We see the injustice and the pain and the suffering, unnecessary suffering that is happening, and we can't sit at home and watch it unfold.
Mary says they are people who feel called on by God to be a witness and help those in need. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
Enrollment is going down at schools across San Diego County, as we previously reported. But for this week's Why It Matters segment, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis explains how hard it has been to find out how many students are currently enrolled in San Diego's largest district.
We requested demographic reports from San Diego Unified School District that may shed light on how many kids each school had versus how many it could fit. District officials denied they had any analysis like that. Even the district superintendent was getting nowhere when she asked her own staff for that data. Finally, our reporter Jacob McQuinney obtained a report from the 2024-2025 school year, and it's a bit alarming. The district may be, quote, underutilizing 47% of its schools. About 16% of schools, a total of 27 schools, are less than half full. Those are scary numbers because they point to very difficult decisions in coming years. Few discussions are more controversial for a community than ones about closing schools, but at this rate, they may become unavoidable. Unfortunately, this may be the last report of its kind that we get. The district no longer has a full-time demographer on staff to map and project changes in populations. Other layoffs have left it unable to provide this kind of data, even to Superintendent Fabiola Bagula, who told us she's been asking for it with no response. Those cuts came from major budget deficits the district has had to close, and those deficits are fueled in part by declines in enrollment. For Voice San Diego, I'm Scott Lewis, and that's why it matters.
The federal government's decision last week to end regulation of greenhouse gas emissions is personal to scientists here in San Diego. That's because one of the scientific foundations of that policy is rooted in decades of local research. Environment reporter Tammy Merga has more on the Keeling Curve.
You may not know it by name, but the Keeling Curve is iconic in scientific circles.
For decades here, starting with my father, we've been tracking the buildup of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere through measurements around the world, but most notably in Hawaii on Mauna Loa.
That's Ralph Keeling. He's the director of the CO2 program at Scripps Institution of Oceanography. He recognized at a young age that the work his father, Charles David Keeling, began was important.
The Keeling Curve was really the first clear evidence of human impacts at that scale of the global climate. And so it was the alarm bell that went off. But it's also the pulse of the planet. We're seeing what's going on. It is our bottom line. So bending the curve means bending the Keeling Curve.
That curve links carbon dioxide levels increasing at a much faster rate to fossil fuel burning, a primary driver of global warming. The Keeling Curve has been foundational to the policy that enabled the federal government to regulate those emissions under the Clean Air Act.
Now the endangerment finding is hereby eliminated, as well as all greenhouse gas emission standards that followed.
Lee Zeldin heads the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. Last week, he said the policy known as the endangerment finding led to too much red tape for automakers.
Manufacturers will no longer be burdened by measuring, compiling, or reporting greenhouse gas emissions for vehicles and engines.
He argues that the Clean Air Act is meant for regulating pollutants that linger in the air people breathe, like smog, and it doesn't give the EPA the authority to regulate greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide that stick around in the atmosphere. But Keeling says those greenhouse gas pollutants create health harms, too.
To me, a pollution is something that we are putting out there that we didn't need to put out there that's changing the environment in a way that's harmful. And CO2 checks that box pretty easily.
Keeling worries about what the government ending its obligation to regulate these emissions will mean for our future.
CO2 is not going down. CO2 is going up. It's going up faster than ever. We're burning fossil fuels, and it's simply building up. We're taking carbon that was in the ground in the form of fossil fuels. We're burning it. And we're flooding the zone.
And that, he says, has already led to wildfires, sea level rise, flooding, and heat waves. And that has had an impact on energy bills, emergency room visits, and insurance premiums. Keeling says he worries about the country losing momentum in curbing planet warming emissions.
If we care about our own well-being, we have to lead the world. And so the signals we give to other countries about how to behave are as important as anything we do domestically.
If his father were here today, Keeling says he would say the same thing.
We have to get fossil fuel burning under control, and these actions don't help. And we have to lead the world in the crusade to reduce dependence on fossil fuel. Our country needs to do that badly.
The state of California and environmental groups like the Sierra Club are vowing to challenge the EPA in court. Tammy Merga, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
It's hard to ignore that childhood has changed in a lot of ways. And one of the most striking reasons is the role technology is playing in it. From the NPR Network and KPBS, this is Screen Time, a podcast featuring conversations about technology and kids in today's digital age. Listen to Screen Time wherever you get your podcasts.